Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the week after Carnage on the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Yeah, it's the week after the Carnage, but there's still Carnage this week, so we'll see what people can come up with.
We'll start off with a group winner, though, who didn't really, you know, experience too much Carnage, I don't think. Group winner was Josh with his team Rough Pies. What was his score, and who do you have, Paddo?
Yeah, so a score of 2,439, which on face value by round 18 seems pretty low, but trust me, this is a fucking huge score in the scheme of what everyone had to deal with this week. So Heaney and Gorn were the two that he's held on to. Couldn't tell you whether he had any of the other guys or not, or whether they've been traded out or not. Nick Martin owner, so nice little 142 there because he kicked a few goals. Dan Houston, after having a rumor of being a late out, still got 114, so that was obviously nice. Jordan Clark also got a 114. Those top three defenders, though, Dano, Luke Ryan, Nick Dacos, Harry Sheezel, everyone's in the same boat, but they're struggling a little bit. Very interesting, though. So Joshua had the VC on Zach Butters, who scored 120, but went with Lachie Neal, who got 143. So it came off, extra 23 points there. Maybe he just didn't have the loophole I got caught out in RDT myself, and it also came off because I got a higher captain score. But yeah, always difficult when you pick a nice VC and then you're like, fuck, I can't loophole it because all my non-playing players haven't played. So I'm sure we've all done it before. Yeah, no real standouts in that midfield other than Lachie Neal, but Grundy and Jackson in the ruck line, which is obviously nice. Flanders, Caldwell, Zorko, and Dowling on field. Clutch 101 there by Billy Dowling, and hopefully he has cemented his spot in that Crows team for the rest of the year, Dano.
Yeah, some good coverage there. So we'll move on to injuries and suspensions. And as we were just discussing before we recorded this podcast, there's no official club lists out yet. So when we were recording this, the only thing that came out was literally 5 minutes before recording about suspensions. So that's the only thing that we have. So we'll start off with Nick Dacos. Got a corked hammy. Fucking BT kept on shouting, "He's fucking done a hammy. He's done a hammy." Pissed me off. He just kept on going on about that's a fucking hamstring. Well, he obviously didn't say fucking, but yeah,
I can imagine it too. So I was watching the game at a pub, but that had no volume because I was out with mates. So fuck, I'm glad I didn't hear that. But all I could see was Dacos holding his hammy, and I couldn't pull out my phone to see what was going on. Obviously, you're not rude to your fucking mates, but yeah, I'm thinking fuck, that's my season done. But I still had a trade up my sleeve though, so still got that.
Yeah, so we'll see how he goes there.
I just want to say there, these things can kind of flare up after the body warms down, once the blood stops flowing from being warm, playing sport. So just wait for some news on Dacos. But I would almost prefer him to miss a week, Dano, because he might play injured for a week or two while he's recovering, so I'd almost prefer him to get the week off to rest it up. But yeah, see what Collingwood say. Their season is at a bit of a crossroads, so they really need to beat Hawthorn this week.
Yeah, they do. Bit of a POD that I mentioned a few weeks ago. Justin McInerney, PCL, Paddo. So we don't know how long he's going to be out for, but yeah, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, PCL is usually at least a month, so big loss from Sydney's kind of flown under the radar and done a really good job for them. Playing a half-forward role with a little bit of midfield. So I just worry that Callum Mills came in and played a bit more. He played about 60-40 midfield-forward split, which is very interesting for next year, Dano. But with Heaney to come back in, and Luke Parker has to play in the 20 as well, it's going to be interesting to see how they shuffle around those midfielders. Hopefully Heaney comes back in and resumes his midfield role. But everyone on the planet knows how good Isaac Heaney is as a forward. Obviously, he's a fantastic midfielder as well, but I just worry that maybe Heaney will play up forward. But it's a pretty fucking dangerous forward line, Dano, if you've got Isaac Heaney, Luke Parker, and the Amati party, and Logan McDonald, and Callum Mills. Like, fuck.
Mm. And very Skip. Well spread.
Yeah.
We'll go down to Tim Taranto. So concussed 1 week, which leads us also into the Toby Bedford suspension on him, which we just got told is a 3 week suspension. Don't know whether they'll challenge. So Tim Taranto was a really good POD at one stage there, Paddo. Probably not anymore.
Yeah, it's just a shame he doesn't have a run of relevant midfield primos coming up. So the Gold Coast guys are safe this week, but then it's Melbourne and Hawthorn, and nobody has any primos from those teams. So we'll see if they appeal it or not. Like, obviously, I was upset because it was Taranto, and I'm a Richmond fan, but didn't think this deserved 3 weeks, don't I? I thought maybe 1 to 2, as we were talking about before. Just with Taranto, very unlucky. I think he was a great POD, and I still stand by the fact that I think he was nice. It's just really unlucky that he got, defenselessly ground into the ground and got concussed. So hopefully only misses 1 week for Richmond's sake. Could be 2 weeks. Could even be the rest of the season. They might just put him on ice because we're on pick one watch there. But
yeah. And the one that left a massive smirk on Paddo's face, Adam Treloar calf. Don't know how long. Did it in the warm-up. Paddo, fucking go on.
No, I don't like celebrating people's injuries, and obviously I hope Treloar has a nice recovery and it's not too bad of a calf. But there's reasons why we avoid these types of players, and that's why you play it safe. We saw McGovern miss this week with a lung injury. Obviously that was more of an unlucky one, but Treloar was scoring great when he was playing. He actually got tagged last week or the week before, don't know, which was interesting. But, yeah, I guess the bright side of it is lucky he did it in warm-up. So if you are a Treloar owner, hopefully you had the bench cover there and you could get a bench score for him. But, don't say I didn't warn you, and that's why it's worth avoiding these guys that have that known soft tissue history.
Now, Paddo, you've chucked in a new category here saying lessons from 2024.
Yes.
What do you want to discuss?
So I just want to talk about some lessons that we might have learned from this year, Dano. I know you've still got a few trades up your sleeve, which is nice. But I just want to discuss some ways that we maybe in hindsight would have treated this year a bit differently. We're going in with a blank slate with what was it, 40 trades we had? 30?
Yep, 40.
40. Yeah, and we all thought, we can go crazy, but everyone's running out of trades. I'm just after the buyers, which is kind of crazy. And I just think there was scope to be a little bit safer with your trades. For example, so if I go to my history, Dano, and look at my trade
history. Just going to start out straight away. Lesson number one that everyone should have learned, but I stuck with, give your players 3 weeks. At the start of the season, everyone jumped off Nick Martin and whatnot after 2 weeks, and Hayden Young after 2 weeks, and then their 3rd week, they fucking went. And people are trading him back in later. You've wasted 2 trades on Hayden Young and 2 trades on Nick Martin, whereas you could have just started them and kept them the whole time.
You got Fisher there as well, Dano.
Fisher's a little bit different. Fisher, the role was there in the preseason. I get that. And people started him. The role obviously from preseason wasn't there, traded him out, and then he got given the role after a while. So I get trading him back in, so that's fine.
Yeah. I think the other thing is just jumping off rookies too early. The sub situation is a bit of a nuisance in the sense that if your rookie gets a sub game, their break-even skyrockets, and then you think you've got to trade him out. But I look at someone like D'Ambrosio. I traded him out in round 5 for 316K. I think he's sitting right now at about 450K, Dano.
He got a win on that nice run.
He did. And I think sometimes you just got to maybe play it a bit more patient. And I know it's hard because you see these primos and they might be a really good price, or they might have a really good matchup, and you think, fuck, I need to get this guy in. But sometimes you don't. Sometimes I think you just need to wait for your rookies to fatten up, and I think that's a lesson that I'm going to take into 2025. It's just that sometimes you've got to hold firm. And I think the other one, Dana, is just having a plan, and you've got to be flexible with your plans, but also you've got to stand by them at the same time. So, for example, I had the plan of having Jesse Hogan for 3 weeks for his really nice run and then trading him out, and I stuck to that plan. But the very same week I traded out Alex Sexton for 182,000, brought in Tom Power for 312,000, and traded out Hayden Young and brought in Luke Ryan. So Luke Ryan was good for me. And I also brought in Sam Darcy that week, which was obviously a pretty nice rookie there. But it's very easy to go away from your plan. And planning is so important in this game. And you can easily go down the drain with, you know, someone might get named as a sub and you might have to panic and change your trades, or you might panic and have a loophole score on your bench that you need to find a non-playing playing for, and you just sort of throw your plan down the drain. And Supercoach is a really long year. AFL is a really long year.
Mm.
And I think sometimes you just got to play the long game like we used to have to back in my day, and just, yeah, relax. We didn't see much carnage at all this year, Dana. We sort of touched on that last week. But we saw it all in 1 week, and we're going to get more carnage. You're saying pre-pod as well, Dono, that there's going to be a primo that will have one of those tackles that head first into the ground, and they're obviously not going to mean it, but, like, touch wood, this doesn't happen, but it could be a Bontempelli, it could be anyone, and all of a sudden they're out for 3 weeks, and then you've got no trade, so you got to put on Billy fucking Dowling or something, and Billy Dowling ain't no Bontempelli, I'll put it that much. So, yeah, and I feel like also with going early on rookies, it means your final trade is also shit. Like, my final primo trade-in without going sideways was in round 15. I had to go for Cozzy Pickett at 359K. He hasn't been horrible for me, but, I mean, the good teams, they were getting in Caldwell in the same week, and he's been averaging 120 in that time. So that can be the difference. And you can make up ground a lot still, overtaking the people that did go a bit crazy. So that's the lesson I'm going to take into next year, Dano. You don't have to go crazy trying to keep up with the big dogs of the Supercoach world. Like, we all listen to the great content that's out there, and that is awesome. But play your own game. Don't look at your ranking at round four and think, fuck, I've got to, like, use three trades a week and use my boosts and keep up with these guys. Play your game. Things will work out in the end. And if you hold your trades, you can get in guys that go on these late runs, like a Jai Caldwell, like LDU, who's been really good lately. Jack Sinclair's gone to another level. He's come down a peg or two since then. But you can jump on these guys, and they're massive PODs for you. And the guys that start performing shitly for whatever reason, this is the time of year where we get a lot of injuries. So I feel like Matt Rowley is carrying something that's so obvious to anyone that watches him play. And if you've got no trades left, you're going to watch that fucker. And you're just going to get an aversion to these guys because they're clearly playing injured, but you think they're shit. And then you avoid them next year, and then they average 115. And then you think, fuck. So I think just relaxing next year. I don't know, obviously, how many trades we're going to get. It's probably going to be 40 again. And I think you just got to learn from your lessons and don't make the same mistake over and over.
Yeah. The other thing I would point out is, again, it happened to me again this year, and I didn't back my gut. And that is, just because you're looking at a rookie that all these other podcasters and whatnot aren't starting, back your gut. So last year for me, it was Jack Buckley. He was, what, 202,000 or something like that, and he went on a nice little run. This year for me, it was Ollie Dempsey. And I was talking about Ollie Dempsey in preseason and that wing role and whatnot. And how
he's averaging 90-odd, Dana.
I know, and I didn't back my gut in and start him. So Ollie Dempsey was like my Jack Buckley of this year. And then the other side of it is, when there are really good rookies and you need to watch games, this is where it's key. So watch the games, and where there's really good rookies that are popping off, you kind of got to jump on. I actually missed out on Sam Darcy and Massimo this year, Paddo.
They're two big rookies.
Two of the biggest rookies this year I missed out on. So that's where I'd say you got to time it right that you're going to jump on those guys. But back in your gut, for those rookies at the start of the year where you reckon they're going to pop off. Like, I started Jack Carroll, whereas barely anyone started Jack Carroll, and he was actually pretty good to start with. And I got a little bit of money out of him, so I was pretty happy there. But, yeah, backing those sorts of guys in. Back in your plan, like you said, like my plan was always start Nick Martin in the midfield. Then once he got DPP, swing him into defense. And I stuck by that the entire time, and it worked out well for me. And then, yeah, just don't, like I said before, just don't trade straight away before round three. Give them 3 weeks. And it's amazing how just waiting that 1 week, hey, if they fucking tank again, cool, you've got every excuse to get rid of them. 3 weeks in a row, nah, not good enough. 2 weeks in a row and then one really good week, oh, yeah, give a little taster. You've saved one to two trades. They might go on a run and everyone else looks like Dills, and then they're burning through their trades, and then all of a sudden you've got seven trades when everyone else has one. So that's the way I'll look at it. I want to keep at least three trades up my sleeve for the rest of the season, not do any upgrades just in case there's like injuries or whatnot. And then in the second last round, I'll do one trade, and in the last round, I'll do two if everything goes to plan, Paddo.
Yeah, absolutely. Lessons for next year. We'll see how the rest of the year plays out. We might get no carnage, and then the last few weeks you can have some luxury trades and nail a guy that might have had a really good role change for the rest of the year in a bottom six team or something. Or
there was one other
luxury
thing,
upgrade to a Jordan Ridley who's on fire at the moment. So
yeah, there was one other thing, and that was we have so many buys this year. It felt like that every round was a buy round. Yeah, so yeah. People are like going, like, oh, I'm sitting at 60K and there's been three, four buy rounds or something like that. And then it's time to go into full team mode. As soon as they hit full team mode, 2 weeks go by and you go from 60,000 to 5,000. Then another 2 weeks go by and you go from 5,000 to 2,000. So people were so focused on their rank over those buy rounds, they didn't stop to think, hey, I don't need to do all of these sideways trades and bullshit like that to try and make up ground. Like, just chill. Focus on your plan, stick to your plan. Once full team mode comes out, sweet, you'll be laughing, you'll jump everyone.
Yeah, and it really is the old way of playing Supercoach. Yeah. And I think the aggressive trading was great when we only had 18 rounds, 20 rounds through the COVID affected years. But now that we're back to, what are we, 24 rounds this year, which is pretty crazy.
Fucking four rounds.
Yeah, so when 40 trades go into 24 and you're doing three a week for the first 5 weeks using your boost, really doesn't leave that many. So I think people just need to chill for next year.
Correct. I'll move on to trade-ins for those that are, of us that do have trades.
So for the three people listening that have trades still.
I'll start in defense, and you mentioned him already, Jordan Ridley, 524K, 113 average, 14% owned, 47 break-even. And he's had a 128 average, Paddo, in the two games that Kelly has played. So as long as Kelly's in that team, he's a little slut.
Well, it's not just Kelly, but as long as they've got three guys that are responsible for that lockdown role, Jordan Ridley's free to roam and do whatever the fuck he wants. So at the moment, that is Jake Kelly. That is obviously Ben McKay. Who's the other lockdown guy they have? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But yeah, as long as he's free to roam around. It really is a Luke Ryan role from the first half of the year before it went back to his fake primo self. So if you can afford the luxury trade or you're looking for an upgrade on someone that's underperforming, Jordan Ridley's absolutely your guy and he's still really affordable.
Yep. Agreed. Now we'll go on to a bloke that, again, sounds weird saying this. Tom Stewart, 506K, 96 average, 22% owned, 73 break even. Now, got those midfield minutes again, Paddo. So we've got a decent data set there. He didn't look too bad on the eye when he was playing. Still a great price. Can we really call him a budget option? I think we can.
Yeah, he still qualifies at 506K. So we've got 3 weeks of data now of that midfield role. He's going 97, 115, and 105, which is obviously really nice for a 500K guy. That is value. But the run home, Dano, is really attractive. So he's got the Dogs this week who don't tag. Then North Melbourne are a bit up and down with their tagging, but Tom Stewart isn't getting tagging. He isn't getting tagged, I should say. Adelaide, no chance. Frio, hardish matchup, but then St Kilda on West Coast. So really, really nice run home. Of course, Geelong get looked after by the AFL. And I think Tom Stewart's a good option for the run home if you can't quite get to Ridley. So I think Ridley is one, and Tom Stewart's probably 1A. Like, I prefer Ridley of the two if you don't have either. But Tom Stewart is a fine plan B.
Yeah, agreed there. Now we'll go on to North Melbourne's second favourite son, I'll say, Colby McKercher. 465K, we all know Sheezel's their favourite son. 465K, 81 average, 21% owned, 56 break even. So he's got that juicy as role, Paddo. I don't give a fuck what anyone says about waiting for Zach Fisher to come back because it's McKercher's back line now.
Well, Fisher played VFL on the weekend.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So,
So after 11 kick-ins last week, which was 100% of their kick-ins, he's had another 9 this week, which wasn't 100%. Sydney kicked a lot of behinds against them. But, yeah, the role is still really great. Now, the slight concern is that he only scored 79 against the Swans. Keep in mind, that was an absolute demolition job. Sydney have a lot of points to go around. A lot of hungry mouths there from the Supercoach perspective. Still had 25 touches and the ball was just going over his head. So I think Colby McKercher is really, really nice option. So for those that might not follow me on Twitter, I did update this, but I held on to Tuke Miller last week because I had Lawson Humphreys as my emergency and he scored 108. So I thought I can hold on to Tuke Miller as my loophole guy in recess next week. So if you're like me, like I've got more money in my banks, but if you're sitting on like one trade or two trades and you don't want to use two trades to get up to a proper primo, I think McKercher's a fine plan B. Probably averages 100 on the rest of the year, Dano.
Yeah, it won't surprise me at all. Yeah. You spoke of this bloke just before about his 108, I think it was, you said, Pato. Lawson Humphreys, 207K, 88 average, 28% owned, which actually surprises me, and minus 54 break-even. So, yeah, worked out well for Pato. Would be a good D7, M9 kind of swing bloke. Yeah, your thoughts there, Pato?
Yeah, great cover. So even if you have two trades here and you need a downgrade, I think Humphreys is a great option. So his three games are 91, 66, and 108. Playing a sort of loose halfback role, which is kind of crazy. He's getting a lot of the footy. Using it really well as well. West Coast have missed one here. He was part of the Next Gen Academy, which is kind of crazy considering the sort of halfback that they need, but we won't go too much into that just yet. But I think Humphreys is great. Now, if Nick Dacos has a bit of an injury cloud over his head during the week and maybe he's a late out or maybe he's named is not, or he's not named on Thursday night and whatnot, like Humphreys as your defensive midfield swing, I think is a great cover for that for a week or two.
Yep, I can dig it. Now we'll move on to midfield now, Pato. So you've gone both Rosie and Anderson as a combined one, if you can get them in, at under 600K.
Yep, still great price for both of them if you can get to them.
Can I add a third one?
Is it Golden?
No, it's Zach Merritt.
Oh, he is under, yeah, true, yep.
He's got a pretty high break even this coming week, but I think he's 570-odd K.
Yeah, I think it's a great option. Adelaide this week, so he will firm as a VC option, absolutely.
Yep. So any of those three, Rosie Anderson or Merritt, of those three, I'd probably go Merritt.
Yeah, so I guess in order, I'd probably go Merritt, Rosie, Anderson in terms of priority, but I think all three are fine options.
Yep. I'll move on to Chad Warner, 512K, 106 average, 11% owned, and a 63 break even. So he's much lower price now, but Isaac Henny back this week.
Yeah, but I still like he's had a few down weeks, so I'm not sure he's going to get too much attention.
I still reckon that he'll get some attention.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of it myself. I feel like that there's better value elsewhere. We'll go Hugh McCluggage, 490K, 98 average, 3% owned, so massive POD, 105 break even. I'm just waiting for this dude to actually live up to his potential regularly, Pato.
Yeah, I can't help but think that them recruiting Dunkley really hampered McCluggage because they're kind of the same player.
And then Ashcroft on top.
Yeah, so McCluggage is a bit more of a goal scorer, but yeah, Ashcroft is the other one who's a bit more outside, but yeah, it kind of plugs up that midfield group. But McCluggage's CBAs have actually been pretty good. So they're up from last year where he averaged around 100. So I think there's a bit of growth potential there as my thing just reset. So he's got a 5-round average of 100, which is really nice. So, and we know with McCluggage, he's got a really high ceiling. So he'll give you big scores every now and then. And it could win you a weekly matchup.
The last one we got, and this is an interesting one, Pato, because there's a couple of blokes that you could put into this category, but we put down Zane True from West Coast, 138K. So you got a 94 under the new coach in a midfield role. Do Do we need a bigger data set? I think it's that was his second game played.
Yeah, so he's on the bubble.
Yeah, bit tricky.
It is. I think with the huge spike in CBAs, I think it's enough that if you do need a downgrade option, he is midfielder only, but I like it.
Yep, fair. I will go up to the forward line and the bloke that Paddo forgot to put on the fucking run sheet, which I am surprised about, Paddo, because we were all over him last week. That's Mateus Philippou. 266K now he is, 54 average, 2% owned, minus 59 break even. Don't worry about his fucking 54 average because he's getting midfield minutes and he's gone 100 plus in two consecutive games in that midfield, Paddo.
Yeah, averaging about 106 on that quick math in those two games. Still a really great price, obviously. If you've got spare trades, I even think this would be a great F7 trade in Dano. If you're sitting on three or four trades, I don't hate it as cover because the price is really, really good. It might even help you get some more money to get in your bank just for when you need an injury trade. So I like it. We've had 2 weeks of data now. He plays West Coast this week. Do I even need to say much more?
No, not really. And do we even need to say much more about Jai Caldwell?
No.
Yeah, he's good. We'll move on to some different ones. So Toby Green, 442K, 81 average, 7% owned, 34 break even. So he's had a three-round average of 105. Since my mate said that the Giants aren't a top eight team, they've won two on the trot, and it's all thanks to big man Toby Green. When I think there was a stat, when Toby kicks three or more goals, the Giants win like 72% of their games. And Toby's finally kicking into gear, Paddo.
Yeah. Richmond actually gave a bit of a push on the weekend, don't know. It was Toby Green that really put his team on his back. Now, obviously, he can't play Richmond every week, so don't expect 150s. But the run home is actually pretty decent. And the Giants are in this little pack of teams that need to win games and they'll be really competitive. So that actually helps with Supercoach scoring. So if Toby Green can get those three or four goals a game, it's only 6 weeks. I feel like he's going to wheel his team over the line. I don't hate it as a POD. Now, the price obviously is a little bit awkward at 442K. You make money off Tuke Miller if you're still holding him or someone like that. So I don't hate it as a 6 week gamble, Dano.
Yeah. And look, these are all going to be 6 week gambles and it could pay off. So the next one we got is Harry Mackay, 412K, 89 average, 7% owned, 67 break even. Can I just make one comment about his teammate, Charlie Curnow? 3 goals, 7 was a painful watch, especially that missed goal from the goal square.
I didn't catch the game, but
just every time you're like, oh, he's going to miss. 10 scoring shots for 3 goals, 7. Anyway, Harry Mackay we're talking about here. And yeah, Curnow's copping the best defender from every team, and which is, it's bizarre because you got two Coleman medalists in that Carlton forward line, and any other team would put their top defender on Harry. So yeah, he's copping the second best defender, Paddo, and they got a good run home. They got the softest run home in the AFL.
Yep, they do, and they've got North Melbourne this week, who in his last three, Mackay has scored 137, 116, and 106 against, and then Port Adelaide, who have key defender issues, Collingwood, the same key defender issues, Hawthorn are pretty okay down there, but then West Coast and St Kilda to round out the year, so the run home is really good. Curnow's going to get option one in all of those games, and Mackay could well average 100 on the rest of the year.
Yeah, agreed. We got Cozzy Pickett, 419K, 74 average, 1% of teams. That 1% is just Paddo. 94 break even. You talk about him, Paddo, because you got him.
So there was actually an uptick in CBAs, Dono, which was interesting to me. So he had 63% CBAs on the weekend for an 85 or so. I think by memory, he kicked like three behinds as well. Let me just fact check myself here. Which column is the behinds? No, he didn't kick any behinds. But gives him that polish that they need in there, I feel, Dano. Viney, Rivers, and Oliver are just too similar. So he gives that outside polish, and I think they've recognised that now. So, yeah, with an uptick of CBAs, I really like Cozzy Pickett as a really cheap, maybe F7, F6 sort of option. They're in that group fighting for finals as well. So, yeah, I like it.
Now, the last one we got on our list is Shea Bolton, 398K, 82 average, 5.6%. Why are you so specific with him but no one else? 5.6% of teams owned and 59 break even. So he went into the middle once Taranto went down, but all I can say is fucking avoid this mofo because he's been the most frustrating own.
Yeah, I agree. He has been a very frustrating own. Did move into the midfield once Taranto went down, though. So I think with McAuliffe out and Dow out as well, Bolton becomes that sort of third midfielder. If Dusty comes back as well to play forward, Bolton should be that third midfielder and obviously does really well in that role. We saw early days when he was getting a bit more midfield time, he was getting those higher scores. So I think it's not a bad option at under 400K if you are really cash-strapped. But just keep in mind, they are bottom of the ladder. They're probably tanking for the first pick, so buy beware.
Yeah.
But the run home is nice.
We'll go to question time now, Paddo. Question time. We'll go to Facebook. We didn't actually have too many questions this week because we're recording on a Monday night. It's Monday night. And we put the call out, last night?
Yeah.
So generally we have a few days for questions. Anyway, these aren't really questions on Facebook. So we'll go to the footy mailbag. They posted on our Facebook, so that'd be Damo, just would like confirmation, I wasn't the only one who had only 21 players and Bruce Revel this week, or reveal this week, because holy fuck, please help, why is my team so bad?
Yeah, so I feel, now this was my case in AFL Fantasy and I couldn't do anything about it with the old Brevelnator named as a sub. All we wanted was a fucking Breville toasty on a Sunday arvo, and Fagan fucked it for us. So very, very frustrating. Certainly, surely not the only one. Live, laugh, love.
Luke goes, it's official. Ryan is a fake primo once again. 4 of his last 5 sub-100 scores.
Yeah. It's not good.
It happens to me when I fucking trade him in, doesn't it?
Yeah, I feel for the people that brought him in after the bye because they've had one score over 100 in that time, and it was against top of the ladder in a game that they won. So
660K.
Yeah, his kick mark game has gone way down. He hasn't had double-digit marks since round 12, which was also his last score over 120. So there's certain – it's not so much a change of role because the role's still the same. He's just – it's more of a game plan change. They're just not doing that chip mark stuff in the back line now. So I think Jordan Clark almost becomes a better option because they're doing a little bit more run and carry, and he's that guy. Yeah. So in the last 4 weeks, Jordan Clark has turned up every single week since the sort of change of role, and Luke Ryan has only done that once. So Clark's a better option in the Freo defense now, which is kind of crazy.
Fucking crazy. Go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and we only got the one, which was from Lloydy. And he goes,
you mean, Trump X?
Oh, Trump X. Oh, anyway. Jesus. Anyway, Lloydy goes, what are your worst trade-ins for the year that you've stuck with? His have been Bolton and now Curnow. Ooh, worst trade-ins for the year.
Just look at your team because he's asking about the ones that we've stuck with.
Well, I finally traded him out, but he did go on a good run, though, and that was Jason Horn Francis. But last round just did it for me. I was like, no, I don't want this selfish prick on my team anymore. And then the other one, probably Bolton and Curno as well. Actually, and Luke Ryan, because I've traded him in. I'm just sticking with him because he hasn't been awfully shit, but he hasn't been awfully great. And I'm just going to have to ride it out for the rest of the year because he's lost too much money for me.
Yeah, so I will say Bolton and Pickett, they were two absolute howlers for me. Pickett was more forced. I had to find a cheaper guy. Bolton, I did it at a really bad time. I did it the week before the bye, and I got a nice score out of it because it was before the West Coast game where he got 130-odd, and he was my captain that week. But since then, it's been nothing but bombs. The other one that I probably regret that is still in my team. There's a lot of trade-ins that I regret that aren't in my team anymore. Here's looking at you, Jack McRae, Clayton Oliver. I could go on as well, so we won't go on. But the one I probably regret a lot is at round four, I traded in Jack Steele. I got some nice scores out of him. At round four, he was averaging 127. Actually, no, 122 after 3 weeks. So I brought him in for the Richmond game. So I got a 142 and 143 in back-to-back weeks. But from round six onwards, that's the Jack Steele that I got. And that is only 5 tons in that time. He looks visibly sore, as he does every year. I said last year I would never pick that fucking dud again. He's not a dud. That's unfair because he is a good footy player. He's not a super coach player, though, at all. So if I have Jack Steele in my team at all for the rest of my life, people need to delete my team and lock super coach off my fucking computer so I can't access it again.
Jesus. All right. Well, Pato, they're all the questions, so we might as well move on. So we're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing. Every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. I hope everyone listened in when we said Lockie Neal C, because that was the biggest lock for me.
I've got another big lock for everyone.
Oh, for this week?
No, not this week. It's a different sort of lock.
Oh, what is it?
So I just want to quickly check something. Lockie Neal is currently the third favorite for the Brownlow and is paying $6 on Sportsbet. Make sure you gamble responsibly. Patrick Cripps is not winning the Brownlow.
So this is the current tally that me and my mates have put together for the Brownlow, and I'll just go to it. So we had on 25 Brownlow votes, Isaac Heaney. We have on 23 Brownlow votes, Patrick Cripps. We have 22 Nick Dacos and 22 Lockie Neal. I can see Lockie Neal going, holy fuck, I'm in with a chance for this. I'm going to go nuclear for the rest of the year. And that's why I'm just pretty much captaining him most weeks from now on.
Yeah, those without Lockie Neal are going to really fall behind.
Yeah.
Anyway, gamble responsibly.
He has the Swans this week, though, which will be a lot tougher. But if he can get 3 votes against the Swans, anyway, we'll go back to Supercoach, because we already spoke about one of the dudes as a trade-in option because his value is fucking. He plays on the Friday night, Essendon versus Adelaide. Why are you trading in Zachy Merritt, and why are you putting the VC on him?
Yeah, this is probably my VC for this week, Dano. Get it out of the way on Friday. I think he's going to do well against an Adelaide midfield that it's probably a bit of a shell of its former self, especially without Rankin in there. They're kind of not really tagging anymore. They're trying some different things. They know they can't make finals. So I think Zachy Merritt is a really nice VC at Marvel Stadium as well.
Yep, agreed. I don't like anyone else other than Zachy Merritt. Maybe Ridley?
Caldwell. Didn't Caldwell spend time in Adelaide?
No, you're thinking of Jackson Hatley.
The other ex-GWS mid.
Yeah. Yeah, you're thinking of him.
But Caldwell still also could do well.
He could do Caldwell. I'm thinking Jordan Ridley even.
Yeah, Ridley's not a bad shout. They did just concede 114 to Josh Battle, who is kind of playing that role a little bit as that backman. So don't hate it. Merritt's obviously got the highest ceiling, but Ridley is certainly not a bad second option.
We'll move on to Saturday. So 1:45 p.m. Giant Stadium. Hang on, it says Giant Stadium on here. What happened to Engie?
Yeah, sponsorship might have run out. Oh, it says Engie on the Supercoach website.
I'm on the AFL app. Weird. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Engie Stadium, formerly known as Giant Stadium. GWS versus Gold Coast Suns. So basically 7th playing 18th. Pato?
I think I really like Tom Green in this.
You didn't like my joke.
I missed it.
I said 7th playing 18th because the Suns at home are basically premiership contenders. Suns away at bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, still have not won away from Gold Coast and still have not lost at Gold Coast, which is insane. Actually tipped Gold Coast. No, they haven't.
No, they've lost a home game this year, Gold Coast.
Have they?
Giants. Yep. It was Gather Round, Mount Gambier.
Oh, that doesn't count.
I know Mount Barker. Sorry, Mount Gambier is not.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, it does.
I actually tipped Gold Coast against Port Adelaide this week because it was on Gold Coast. So anyway, Tom Green, I think, is a really nice option. Gold Coast don't bother tagging and it'll be up against a Matt Rau that is really struggling.
What about Flanders now that Bedford's rubbed out?
As a VC, I don't hate it. Did score 125 against them earlier in the year. I just don't know if the ceiling is there to warrant the VC. I think it'd be a really great captain option because you know you're probably going to get 120 there. So if you do VC a merit type and he doesn't do well enough, I think Flanders is a fine captain option as a backup.
Yep. No, that's fair. That's fair.
I like Whitfield as well if you own Whitfield.
He doesn't now. He's the one that doesn't really have the ceiling either at the moment. He's getting 30 plus disposals a game, but he's not getting like the 140s that you'd expect.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on. St Kilda versus West Coast, which is going to be a really weird one at Marvel. Yeah, I don't actually like anyone. Even a Jack Sinclair, I don't like in this.
Oh, I'm hoping he comes good because I've had Hopefully Sinclair.
Oh, actually, no, Sinclair at Marvel's the same as like freaking Grundy at the SCG.
Yeah, true. I got a VC for you.
Who?
Matthias Philippou.
Fuck. Remember the year, it was literally last year when we were like, oh, yeah, she's all VC. Ha 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 ha. And then all of a sudden he became one.
Yeah.
This could be it.
Could be.
Yeah. Anyone else?
No.
No, okay, cool. Hawthorn versus Collingwood. This game intrigues the fuck out of me, Paddo.
Yeah, this is almost must watch if you're not doing anything at 4:30 on Saturday, Arvo.
Yeah, correct. Will Day owners, maybe.
Yeah, don't hate that shout. Will Day's a really nice option.
If Dacos gets up, obviously him. But at the moment,
no.
I'd only VC him. I wouldn't put a C on him.
Dacos has a horrible history against Hawthorn. They always hard tag him.
Oh, there you go. I only really, and the way that they moved Sicily around, I don't like Sicily.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure I like anyone in this game. I just like this game for footy reasons, not super coach reasons.
Yeah. Battle of the Pound at 7:30 PM, the Cats versus the Bulldogs. And to be honest, GMHBA is a pound.
Bontempelli is the obvious one here.
Yeah.
So 141 in round four this year against them, 146 last year. Can't help but think they'll try and do something. Geelong are always those teams that do sort of hard tag the good players, but it's weird that Bontempelli has a really good history against them. So I feel Blitzavs goes to him. That's the obvious matchup to me. But, yeah, VC, it could be a VC here. But I think the other game at the same time is the one that gets me a bit of arouse in the pants.
We'll go to the one at the same time. And that's Port Adelaide versus Richmond. Oh, yeah, there's heaps for fucking Port here.
So Zachary Butters averages 160-odd against Richmond in his last two.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's all. So he's my captain. I just need to work out who my VC is.
Well, you've already said Merritt.
Well, yeah, it's not locked in Merritt, but it's likely Merritt.
Yep. Anyone else?
Rosie. Not a bad option too. The other one, Dano, is Mr. Nank the Tank.
Yeah, true.
He should absolutely feast on whoever Port Adelaide want to play in the ruck.
Yeah. Yep, don't mind that at all. I'll move on to Sunday. So yep. We've got the biggest game of the round, Brisbane 4th versus Sydney 1st at the Gabba.
And I'm too far away from Sydney to like Brody Grundy.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, well, he's up against Big O anyway, so... But what I'm going to say is this is going to be a Lachie Neal 3 votes, and I reckon he's going to go Boonanas.
See, I think he gets a hard tag and doesn't do too well. I just want to look up his history against Sydney. 144 and 187 in his last two. So that always happened. I'd be too worried about a McInerney tag, though.
McInerney's injured.
Not McInerney, the other one. Always get them mixed up. Rowbottom, I mean, not McInerney. Rowbottom. I think Rowbottom goes to Neil and does a hard tag.
It's all good. Lucky he'll get through it because he wants that B low.
I like Dunkley as a backup option there.
He's in some good form at the moment, the Dunks.
Yeah, 137 against Sydney last year.
It's It's wild that Brisbane are favourites considering Sydney's form, but at the same time, Sydney's form has lost the last two games. So are the wheels coming off, Paddo?
No, no, they'll be fine.
Yeah, I was hoping they would come off. yeah, the only other one, Isaac Heaney, as a return game going, fuck you all.
Yeah, off a week off.
Yeah, fresh as.
Yep.
You know what would be the audacity on a move if they put Isaac Heaney sub?
Oh, no. Not going to happen. It could be Mills, but it could sub him.
Parker.
No, nah, Parker's got to be in the 22. He was unreal.
Oh, moving on. Fremantle versus Melbourne. Optus. I don't actually like anyone.
I like Jordan Clark.
No, I don't like anyone.
But we're looking captain. At captain. Yeah, we're looking at captain yeah. territory no here.
No one. Not even if Luke Gorn gets up.
Luke Jackson might have a nice game.
No, don't trust him with the C.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. So, yeah, not sure anyone can be trusted here in this one.
Now, this last game, it really intrigues me, Paddo. And you wonder why. It's Carlton versus North Melbourne at Marvel. It would not surprise me if this game is close.
It would surprise me greatly.
It wouldn't surprise me. But you can't go past Paddy Cripps at the moment because now he sniffs a Brownlow too. He's in the same category as Neil. They sniff a Brownlow, they start lifting.
Yeah, possibly. I like either of the key forwards, even though you probably don't put the C on them. Sheasel's not a horrible option.
Yeah, Marvel.
128 earlier in the year against them. Walsh and Cripps are probably the two from this game, though.
Yeah, agreed. All right.
And DeConing if Bettinet doesn't play.
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, Paddo, what's your X formerly known as Twitter handle?
It's at PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. And you can also find us on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything else to add unless there's been some news that has come in really late, Paddo, but I can't see any.
Not that I've seen.
We go on here now. No, nothing else. Anyway, so from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And this is us signing.
Fuck off.